From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, actress and writer, Diane Adair.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Summer Rona. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so excited about the conversations we're going to have tonight, and of course the music we're going to hear tonight. I was interviewed this morning on somebody's radio show, and they were saying to me, what excites you? And I said, this kind of conversation. And we were talking about knowing ourselves. Actually, I was being interviewed as a life coach and about the recalibration, which is something I love talking about because my heart and soul is into it, as I know Dorothy's and Mark is too, because we see the transformation in people that come through knowing themselves like never before. And it's interesting that they talk about having been to so many other workshops, and they said, this is so different. And I don't know why they'd say things like, but this is so much more engaging. And I'd say, because it's about you. And knowing you could be, and maybe even should be, the most important thing that there is. I like to ask my clients a tricky question. I like to say, when you enter a room, who's entering the room? And they have no idea what I mean. And I say, okay, so you think you're coming into a room. What does everybody else think? That I'm coming into a room? Yeah, because we're not used to thinking this way. And I understand it's a tricky question. So I say to them, what is it that they see when you enter the room? Like, who are you? What are you? To give me, well, I'm an accountant. And I'd say, okay, so when people are in the room and they don't know who you are, and you walk in, an accountant walks in the room, I mean, they can tell that, and they're like, I don't know what you want. And so the reason we get to that point is where they're asking, you know, tell me what you want, because they have to know that there's more. And they need to want more, because everybody else has already figured something out about that person that they don't even know what that person is thinking. And it's interesting, the more we know who we are, the more that person that we are actually enters the room. And everything just seems to align. And then people say, wow, someone just entered the room. Look over there. Or I'm interested in that person. And so this is the kind of thing that actors can certainly benefit from. And certainly actors who know who they are those that are doing some very special things. Like, those are the ones that can actually stretch more, because they actually start from a foundation, and then they could take what they are and who they know they are, and then they could expand on that, as opposed to those who say, well, I just want to play a bad guy, or I just want to play a this or a that. And also, I'll end with this, for actors especially, we get to act so little compared to the rest of the time that knowing who you are during the time that you're not getting to be on stage or on screen is, you know, during that waiting time or dead times, as we'll talk a little bit about. That's the time when you need to know who you are the most, because you're with you and only with you at that time. And that's when a lot of people suffer. So I love the fact that there is this kind of work, and I love the fact that we have Diane Adair with us today, who's going to talk about her work and her progress and process through all of this. And how often do we get to have an actress who's out there working and knows the field as well as she does get to tell us honestly, like she has volunteered to do here on the Life Changes Show. So we get to talk honestly about all that with her, and a little later on, some real honest music by Summer Rona, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune. Mark.
Well, yes, hi.
Who walked into the room when you walked into the room? No, you don't have to answer that. But more and more, my gosh.
You know, we've been talking about the work a lot lately because it's been so powerful.
Yeah.
The insights that people that have done a lot of work.
You mean the recalibration?
The recalibration. Yeah. And even, you know, other aspects of what we're working with energetic alchemy and that, but that's all point you to looking at yourself and knowing yourself and then understanding yourself. But that moment where you meet someone and you decide you know them, because you do, you connect and you feel them, but that automatically turns into a process where you don't, and people don't realize that they're evaluating them now based on themselves. So you're actually evaluating yourself after you meet someone.
Oh, there's a twist.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking.
Should we pause?
I didn't know that. But well,
it's time for a break.
Wait, you wait for the show to tell me this? Like I want to know this stuff.
Surprise.
Well, thank you. Okay, well, for the next hour, you all talk amongst yourselves. I have to go figure this out, see how I can put it in the recalibration workshop. This is good stuff. Well, we've got good stuff here as well. We've got Diana Dare. Now, she's an actress, a writer, and she's got some interesting stuff. Well, let me just let her tell. First of all, welcome, Diana Dare.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here. This is very fun.
If I used a word like, gosh, you're so perky.
Damn, it comes back to haunt me. So glad I shared that with you. Yeah, so we're talking about essences, right? And I think that one of the things that's ironic as an actor is a lot of times you get into acting because you want to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be yourself, mm-hmm. right? And you feel more comfortable, especially on stage. You feel like, you know, you're sort of in a different world and you don't have to be you. But what you find out mm-hmm. As the process goes on is that what you most need to be is you, and to figure out who you are.
Yes.
Right?
And so then you opened the door. You came into the studio today and you were all perky.
And so I came in and I was perky. So what I have learned, and that's part of it, is figuring out how people perceive you and if you're comfortable with those words, and if you're not, figuring out, you know, what phrases you might be comfortable with, like you could live with.
Yeah, because you're not comfortable with perky.
Well, perky, I mean, don't you think? I mean, perky's not a great word,
I think I'm fine with
you're fine with it?
See, but I don't get called that. So, what did you do with that?
Perky just seems, I don't know. Well, so I'm not sure. might not sound any better to you. But for me, someone once said to me, 4th of July. And so for me, that's fun because I love the 4th of July. I love fireworks. I love, and so that explosive sort of energy. And so that for me, when I hear perky, I just go, no, 4th of July. And so then
like
I can make
that.
Peace with that because I sort of go, yeah, I'm very energetic. And, but perky, I don't know, feels shallow or something, feels not enough.
Yeah.
And
to you.
To me,
and,
to
and
me,
so
just
you recalibrated
to me.
What so would work for you. Good
so,
for you.
So figuring out ways to take words, you know, that maybe aren't that pleasant to you and make peace with them.
And this is so important, especially for actors, because they walk into rooms all the time and people do what?
Know who they are. I mean, you might not know what they're seeing, but people make assessments immediately. I mean, the second you walk in the door, the casting people have formed an opinion before you even open your mouth.
Yeah.
And actually, even before that, when they're seeing your headshot, which is another reason why your headshots you have to really know who you are so that the headshot is true to who you really are. You might want to play leading ladies, but if you're a character actress, you better make peace with that very quickly because there are plenty of leading ladies in this town. And you're not going to get those roles if you're really a character actor. So that the headshot is true to you, so that you get in the door. And then when you walk in the door, immediately they're making judgments about who you are. And as I said, you don't necessarily fully know what that is. But they're picking up on energy. It's an energy thing.
It's the good news and the bad
news.
The truth is we're all doing it under every sort of the teller at the bank.
Yes.
I mean, anywhere, the gas station, we're always doing it all to each other.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And so with actors, though, it's imperative because that means their job.
Right. Exactly.
Well, so, actually in interviewing for a job, too. But
Right. And then knowing who you are when you come in the room so that you're comfortable just being you, A, but then being able to use that to serve the character as well, right? Mm. So that when you look at the script, instead of thinking, like, what do they want? How do they want this played? Instead, you think, what do I bring to this? You know, how does this speak to me? And what are my unique qualities that I can bring to this that will make this true and different? Because you don't want to be like everybody else that comes through the door. You want to stand out. And the only real way you can do that is by accessing your own stuff. Because if you're accessing your own stuff, there's only you. I mean, there's only one you, right? So then it will be unique because it's your stuff.
And no one will have ever done it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'll put a slightly different spin on it because it's tapping into something that, you know, is true to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a process. It's not, And as you said, it's every day. It's not even just in auditions or whatever. It's in life, right? Mm-hmm. It's with relationships. You put out energy and people pick up on that. And it explains relationships that you sort of go, how did I end up with him again? I've done that same him so many times. And it's because, you know, whatever. Because you're
I've been in this play before.
It's the same kind of relationship. The guy's name has just changed. But it's all very similar. You know, it's the same sort of thing, right? Because it's all about energy and what you're putting out and what you're attracting.
Yeah. I love that you know this. This is not...
Well, just because I know it intellectually doesn't mean I necessarily can access
you.
It. You know what I mean?
Good
it's a process.
Yes.
You know? And I'm not claiming for a second that I necessarily succeed at
it. But many people aren't that honest with themselves.
Yeah.
And they, you know, go ahead and blame and then move on to the next same him and then blame and then move on to the next, right?
And I did that.
Okay,
I certainly, when I was younger, I certainly did that. I certainly was like, you know, if he would just, you know, and then I had to suddenly sort of go, well, not so suddenly, but I had to finally go, wait a minute, what's the common denominator? The common denominator is me. And so what am I doing? Mm. What energy am I putting out? You know, what is it that I really want? And then after some therapy and getting really clear on that, you know, and looking at childhood stuff and, you know, what you attract quite often is what you knew from your childhood. It's not necessarily what you want, but it's what you grew up with. So it's what you're comfortable with, right? So if you have a father that was, you know, not necessarily there much, was kind of distant, then you're probably going to attract guys that are noncommittal, that are kind of distant. And you're going to say, well, that's not really what I want, but it's what I'm comfortable with. And then you have to sort of go, okay.
You don't even realize early on that you're comfortable with it, right?
Yeah.
It's normal.
That's
the thing.
Insidious
people understand
thing.
The normalness
and,
of it.
And the amazing thing is that you can walk into a room and it's like radar. Like you find that person.
Right, right.
You know? And you think like, well, not next time. Next time is going to be different. I've figured this out now. And then it's like, so it's the same thing. It's in life. It's not just acting. It's like in life.
Right, but that's why I love that we're talking about it because people don't correlate.
Yeah.
Right? And so to hear an actress who knows this. And I was starting to say, no wonder that, Mark, you liked her the moment you met her, and I did too. It's just that I didn't know why. I mean, I didn't need to know why, but now, you know, as we've gotten to know each other, it's like, listen to this. Of course I'm going to like her. And, of course, she was introduced by two...
good friends, those Keith brothers.
Those Keith,
Keith brothers, right.
Keith and Chris Keith. Hey, guys.
Actually, interesting. I came to know the Keith brothers before actually you introduced me to them. Brilliant, by the way. But I came to know them through a little alien movie that they did. And come to think of it.
Called The Fool.
The Fool.
Was it called The Fool?
The Fool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
It's short. Yeah, it's fabulous.
So that kind of brings me to my next question about you. There's some aliens in your past. There's some aliens in your closet, Diane. And I want you to lay back down on the couch and let them out when we come back here after this message and a little later on live music by Summer Rona on the Life Changes Show.
listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Diane Adair. Now, she is an actress and a writer, and we didn't say anything more about her, and we were having a conversation, and she was able to jump right in and elaborate on it. I'm so impressed. And during the break, as I told her, I'm like, I'm impressed. She says, "You do remember I did radio. I did morning show, as a matter of fact." Oh, well, that explains it. But she didn't just do radio and morning show. Of course, she's done NPR, and of course, she's done TV and film, and she's done all kinds of plays, touring nationally. She's worked with some interesting people. James Franco, actually, in a film that's coming out. Cindy Williams, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Well, we could go on, actually. June Lockhart and John Glover and et cetera, with, at some really exciting places and great films and TV. And so where do we start? Oh, I don't know. The Fonz?
The Fonz.
Hey.
The nicest man in show business, and that is a fact.
I've heard that before.
Oh my gosh, just oh, yeah.
And it's so true. you have this the distinction of having been the only not only female but the only person that has ever said no to the Fonz.
Right. So, well, yes, because obviously he had a lot of girlfriends, but yeah, I was the only one that rejected him, and it was because I was a nun, and I was already married to God, so there you go. Fonz is good, but you know,
looking back,
it's hard
now
to
that you're not a nun, do you?
So, yeah. So. What?
So, okay, so we talked about aliens in your closets.
You know, it's funny because I didn't really make that connection, but as I think, you know, during the break, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I've actually had quite a few encounters when it comes down to it. The first thing I did was the Cindy Williams film. It was the very first audition I had, actually, was this co-star in a feature film with Cindy Williams and Fred Ward and Harry Dean Stanton, and it was amazing, and called Euphoria, spelled U-F-O-R-I-A.
Euphoria, yeah.
Yeah, and... So that was, I guess, my first alien encounter. And then those Keith brothers, actually, as I think about it, we made a trip out to Area 51.
And actually, oh, really?
Yeah, that's another whole show. we'd have to bring them on to discuss that. But
I'd love to have them back on.
Was another alien encounter that was possibly real alien encounter. Cue the music. But I think the one you want to talk about is Babylon 5.
No, we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. Well, we could talk about Babylon.
Babylon 5.
That's a fun thing.
Yeah, it was very fun. I was part of the Alien Repertory Company.
Which meant you were a different alien every week.
Not every week, but yeah. And which meant that I had to have, you know, a cast, life cast made of my head. Uh-huh. And the process is, I'm sure, a little more sophisticated now. But basically, you know, where they put straws up your nose and you have to breathe through the straws while they're making this cast of your face.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That they then use to make the, you know, prosthetic, you know, for every show. And so you have to not be claustrophobic while they're doing this cast of your face, and you can't see and you can't, you know, you're breathing through these straws. But so that was very fun. As I said, part of the Alien Repertory Company. And I was sharing with you earlier, kind of surreal. One day I was playing a character that had a fin on the top of her head, and at lunch they were serving fish, and everyone kept saying, "You're eating your own."
I saw a picture of that, interestingly enough, and that's, I thought of that.
Yeah.
I thought it looked, I actually said, she looks like the creature from the
Black Lagoon. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So I have to ask you, so you're you're a different alien, but actually in the UFO, euphoria, you weren't an alien.
No.
Although some people might have called you an alien because you were a hippie.
I was a hippie, yes, living in a plywood pyramid on the edge of the desert. And Daryl Larson, fabulous actor, he played my husband. And I had just given birth, supposedly. Of course, you don't see that. And we named the baby Krishna Jesus Kellerman. And I say to him, "Do you think that's too heavy a name, Krishna Jesus Kellerman?" So that was, I know that film became quite a sort of cult classic. I had people stopping me in elevators and stuff and asking me about Krishna Jesus. And anyway, so that was a fun film.
So have you learned anything from the various aliens, or maybe we should open it up to the characters, all the characters that you've played? Let's start with the aliens.
I think you learn something about yourself from everything you do.
Nice.
You know, with the aliens,
like when you're playing a fish, for example.
When you're playing a fish, that might be a little bit
and then you're eating
hard
one.
Of a harder of a stretch. I'm not quite sure what of my essence is.
Let's see, what's
brought
my motivation
to the
here?
Aliens. It was 5 hours of makeup every day, and still, you know, you're finding the character and finding who you are in that character. And if the alien is a mother, then you're not thinking of yourself as an alien. You're thinking of yourself as a mother and what the mother's concerns are. And
so it's not an alien.
I'm not an alien. Yeah. This is just who I am, right?
Right. Wow.
So
yes. Nice.
But yeah, so I think, you know, whatever you do, you try to find some of yourself in that. And hopefully you grow as a human being based on the work that you do as well, because you learn things about yourself. And maybe you're playing a character that you don't particularly like at first, but you can't play a character that you don't like, right? So you have to find a way to embrace that character and the qualities maybe that you don't like. So then that stretches you, hopefully, in your compassion and your understanding of people. And
that's a hard thing for actors, too, is to potentially play not just characters that they don't like, but go against, like, their morals or like, you had to, were asked to kill somebody or something. What was that?
No, it was a film.
Oh, it was foul language, right?
Yeah, it was a film years and years ago. I had been casting this film, and when I got to the set, they had completely changed the character. And because I had this, you know, sort of innocent look, that perky look. They, I guess, decided that it would be funny to have just this, you know, string of profanities from my character. And it was completely gratuitous. It wasn't based on anything. And it just felt wrong to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I can't swear. I can do that easily enough. But it just didn't feel grounded in anything. And it didn't feel true to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said no to it, which was tough because I was already had been cast. I was on the set. You know, they were getting ready to shoot, and I didn't make too many friends, I don't think, that day. But but you know, as I said, I called my agent and I just said, you know, this is how I'm feeling about this. And she said, well, legally, if they've changed the character, you don't have to do it, and I'll back you. And
That's so hard.
But
for
you know,
an actor.
Yeah. But it is really figuring out what you're comfortable with, and that was just one of those moments that I just sort of said, "No, that's not me."
Well, you look very innocent when you were wielding that shield in Instant Trauma as well.
So. That's different.
I mean, that's the thing.
That was
I mean,
fun.
Like you know, right? Exactly. I mean, you can play things that are whatever, you know. Violent or, you know, have profanity or whatever. I mean, I'm certainly capable of going there. but it's got to feel like there's a reason for it. And this just felt like completely gratuitous and that it was just for the laughs, you know?
Yeah.
And it felt yucky to me.
And this applies to life too. People are asked to do things at work that they're not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I left a corporate job because I was uncomfortable.
Right.
With what I was being asked to do.
Yep.
And I also had a dream to do something else, and that helped.
Yep. He was wielding a shield, a shovel.
At IBM.
And lots of profanity.
Right. They changed the role on me. So, and the thing is, too, in life, too, especially for women, and I would like to think this is changing, but... There's a disrespect, obviously, that seems to follow women, and then in acting even more so, and then as aging comes even more so, and it's got to be the hardest thing, because like the alien, it's like, I'm not an alien, I'm a person, I'm not a woman, I'm a person,
right,
you know,
right.
Why are you treating me this way? And some people have said things to you along the way as you're trying to have your career.
Right. Well, and I'm not the exception to the rule.
Of course.
With that. I mean, that is
right.
The norm. It's a youth-oriented business, and you sort of know that going in. And so it's a matter of, you know, finding other things that, like for me, writing, finding other things that feed those creative juices, and especially something like writing where you can just go and sit and write. Mm-hmm. Acting, you kind of are waiting for somebody to... you know, give you that chance.
At least in the past.
And that's one of the real advantages these days is that, you know, we're not limited to the big, you know, three networks or whatever, four networks. You know, you've got Netflix, you've got Amazon, you've got like, you know, this whole other world, and which is actually taking over, making the networks a little nervous. Mm-hmm. And
you got a phone.
And you've got an iPhone. And yeah, I mean... you know, Sundance award-winning films produced on iPhones.
Yeah.
And so you can take charge of your career much more so than you could in the past. And that is what I would encourage big time, is to find your own voice. And by doing so, by writing or producing your own things, creating your own content, you're getting to know yourself better as
nice.
Well. But you're not waiting. You're not waiting, you know... for the cavalry. You are the cavalry. You know, you're creating your own energy and something that you feel passionate about, which is the best ever. But what we were saying earlier is, like when I got into my 30s, I had a casting director say to me, and she was a friend, so it was a little slightly less painful when she said it. But she said, you know, honey, you have to realize, you know, you're in your 30s now. You're going into the dead zone. And I was like, the dead zone? She's like, yeah, and that goes till about 60, and then you can really have a career again. And again, I think that's changing a bit.
Yeah.
It's not just Meryl Streep that is getting work as an older woman. You know, there are other people. That has changed. That is changing, I think, more and more as we get female directors and writers and producers. I mean, that's all changing. But as that's the reality of the business. And so you build a thick skin, and you find other outlets, and you find ways to be true to yourself. Yeah.
And you have done so much in this business, and that's why I think you are perfect for this conversation, because from anywhere from acting on screen, on stage, on screenwriting, and now you're writing your own novels. What the novel you're writing is when we come back,
okay.
It's a romantic comedy, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
Although the way you described it didn't sound comical at all to me.
Fine line between comedy and tragedy.
Oh, man. Okay. So, and we can laugh. You know, here we are. We can laugh. Well, we've all been there, most of us, a lot of us. I have. I could just speak for me. So, and Diane has, and she's here with us, Diane Adair, and we'll be right back with her and our musical guest, Summer Rona, in just a little bit. She'll be singing live here on the Life Changes show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and our guest is Diane Adair. You know, I didn't even mention that you work with Jack Lemmon and Helen Hunt. I mean, there's so much I could mention, and that's why you're perfect for this conversation. And I really appreciate you being so open with us. And It has to reflect on everything you do when you work with people. Do they get, they feel you, right?
I don't know. No. I mean, you hope. I don't know.
Really?
I mean, and that's one of those things, right?
You're just being modest. I mean, they get you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you hope people get you, but I don't know. That's one of those things, you know. I think it's a battle every day for everybody as you go out into the world to sort of go, okay, like, be true to yourself. Who am I? And especially, again, going back to acting, right? Because you have, especially if you go to acting school and whatever, you have this idea that I can play anything, you know?
Right.
And maybe on stage you can have a wider range, but in film and TV you're going to be typecast pretty quickly. Once you've established a name for yourself, you have, you know, a wider range.
People will let you try other things because they think they might come see you anyway.
Right, exactly, if you've got box office.
But why is that? What is the difference between the stage and the screen?
Well, distance.
Distance.
Yeah, I mean,
the camera.
The camera, because the camera really, it's that energy thing, right?
Yeah.
The camera, like the human eye, well, even more so than the human eye, because the camera doesn't blink. So the camera, it just is picking up all that energy and picks up the truth and picks up those essences and your physicality, and you can do some extreme makeup on stage that you can't get away with on film and
This is the woman TV. Who played an alien with
you can't. The straws and the 5 hours. And, right.
Really?
Well, I'm an actor. That's why. I break those boundaries.
Okay, let's talk about. So you've actually just a whole new aspect of your career, although you've been screenwriting and producing and all that kind of stuff. You're also now venturing into the world of authoring.
I am.
You have a literary agent. They're exciting.
Do.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
So what are you authoring?
Well, I wrote a romantic comedy, and that's what actually got me this agent. And it was very much actually like my first audition for my first film, for Euphoria, where I that sort of beginner's luck kind of thing, where ignorance is bliss, and you just sort of go, well, this isn't going to be very hard. I mean, I can just do this. And then you have luck, and then you sort of go, is this supposed to be hard? Like, what were the odds? Oh. Mm. And then the universe goes, do you want it to be hard? Because I can make it hard for you if you want it to be hard, right?
Right.
But, and so with this book, I wrote this book, and then I just did queries. I just sent out query letters. And, you know, I targeted. I did my homework, and I found agents that I thought would be right would be my ideal matches, you know. And I got a very fast response from this fabulous agent, Marie Lamba, at Jennifer DiChiari Agency in New York City. And she responded right away to the first pages that I had sent and asked for the whole book and then read the book right away and said, I love this and I have some suggestions for some changes. And we've been working together and she's... She loves it, which is so exciting. And so, you know, we're going to see if we can sell this thing. So
exciting. Yeah. You'll let us
so
know.
Exciting.
I will. Now I'm writing some other books and stuff, too. But, so it goes back to that thing about, you know, finding other outlets. Yeah.
And speaking of finding, people can find you at dianeadare.com.
Yes.
Right? And I'm going to spell that. Diane, D-I-A-N-E, Adair, A-D-A-I-R. .com, dianeadare.com. And there you'll find all kinds of, there are clips and there's this.
More
there's
stuff
that.
Than
yes.
you'll watch. More stuff than you'd ever watch.
and watch the Fonzie one. Well, very excited for you. And I'm excited for us. I'm happy to know you and look forward to
being able
to connect in some way. I feel like there's something.
There's chemistry here.
There's chemistry
more,
here.
More to do.
Look at her. Look how
more
comfortable
fun to be had.
She is.
I know this couch.
She's
is just way too She's comfortable. Like, you get all sorts of secrets out of people on this couch. It's way too comfortable.
VFAs.
They work.
Well, I am so glad they do because we all benefit from it.
Yeah.
And I believe what you shared and sharing so openly and honestly, first of all, is very refreshing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This was great fun.
Thank you. And then, of course, it was very educational and entertaining. And, I felt like the 4th of July. I don't know. What about you, Mark?
Yes, the 4th of July and many other holidays all wrapped into one.
Oh, I'm never going to live that down.
Well, please come back so we can remind you when you...
Thank you. That, thank you.
It'll be our pleasure. Diane Adair, what a pleasure it was to have you here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Speaking of pleasure, thankfully, there are some people doing wonderful things
lots of pleasure around us, and we want to give a shout out to Tess Cacciatore and the Global Women's Empowerment Network, which is launching on March 8th. We've mentioned them before. Tess is here with us tonight. Global Women's Empowerment Network, that's gwen.live. Check it out.
We'll be there in full force.
We will be there in full force. March 8th. So join us. And another shout out to our great friend Paul Paget and Rockers for Wildlife and all the great work he's doing. They're an environmental and global change foundation. Check them out at rockers4wildlife.com. Rockers for Wildlife, that's Paul Paget.
Thank you, Mark. I know people who are waiting for this next segment. They remember us when we were doing the show years ago, and Dorothy had this segment, and it's finally back by popular demand. This segment is Ask Dorothy.
All right, Dorothy. Francis from Riverside asks, Dorothy, I work long hours and sometimes weekends, and then I don't have energy for anything else. How can I stay inspired?
Francis, first of all, let's ask ourselves if we're doing what we love. I often work 18-hour days, 7 days a week, and weekends too. And I'm always inspired because I love what I'm doing. I absolutely love it. And I found that once we embrace our mission, our passion, we just can't help but be inspired. The question I ask my clients who come to me with this very same question that you asked is so important. If you could do anything at all and be paid for it and not fail, what would you be doing? The answer is painting, acting, dancing, singing, all kinds of things. So we can find a few hours each week, and if we paint or act or sing or dance or cook for the fun of it, we can't help but be inspired. And all of a sudden, we find that we are not tired anymore. So I also take a lot of time to laugh and play during the day. All work and no play makes us dull people.
And if we can dance and sing and cook all at the same time, even better.
That's right. That's right. So thank you for the question.
Thank you, Dorothy, for the answer. And if you're new to the Ask Dorothy segment, now you know why people love it. And speaking of love, they also, and we also, love our musical segment. And today we're going to have Summer Rona on right after this on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We have Summer Rona joining us in the studio. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Diane Adair. And Summer Rona's been singing since she was 4 years old, and she's 5 now. Welcome to the show, Summer.
I'm barely 5, okay?
I'm barely 5. And don't tell a woman's age. Is that what she said?
I never tell.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I've been singing actually since I was in the womb, if we really want to go legit.
Oh, good for you. Absolutely. Well, you have been so many places lately, especially, so we're really glad you're here with us.
Thank you.
We know you live in Paris, and you've been singing in Macau and Sweden and at the Hollywood Bowl. You opened for Diana Ross.
Well, I sang backup with Evan Ross, and we opened for Diana.
Nice.
And it was a dream. It was amazing. She's so cool. I ate fried chicken with Diana Ross.
You ate
fried chicken?
That's
so great.
She offered it to me, and I was like, no, it's cool. And then all of a sudden, I was like, when Diana Ross, and when she offers you fried chicken, you eat the fried chicken. And I'm, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, I've been a vegan for 40
yeah,
years.
But I'll eat the chicken.
And Macau.
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 It's an hour.
I've been there. I say Macau.
Macau.
You were singing there, and what happened real quick?
Oh, right. I'm singing Smooth Operator. And in walks Mick Jagger. Okay, yeah, this happens every day, right? So I'm trying to act cool, like, okay, you know, Mick Jagger walks in all the time. Don't give it any attention. So we go into Set Fire to the Rain, and I'm still ignoring him, you know, playing cool. And then I turn on the second verse, and I'm like, I have to serenade him. And I turn, and I sing, I let it fall, my heart. No, it was... When I lay with you, when I lay with you.
Wow.
And I looked dead in the eyes and I was like, oh, these are kind of intimate lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at
me. Wait, do it to me. I want to see how I feel like.
When I lay with you, I could stay there, close my eyes.
Oh, it works. It works. It really works.
He's like,
and
oh,
what do
yeah.
you do?
He looked around like, is she singing? Yeah. And then he looked at his friend and goes, she's singing to me. She's singing to me.
Nice.
Heck yeah, I'm singing to you, Mick.
Nice. You've got great story, great energy.
Thank you.
You're perky.
Oh. Well, who are we talking about here?
Summer, you are named Summer. You have an album coming out. and yes. it's going to be called.
Well, I have two
things
coming out.
Oh, wait, that's the second, right.
Yeah, so in the summertime, I'm going to be having Summer in Paris come out. Summer
that's
in Paris.
Awesome.
So I'll be recording that in Paris. And then on March 8th, I have a record, five-song record, that will be coming out on the Global Women's Empowerment Network. So
right.
that's awesome.
And you're going to sing one or two of the songs from that?
I'm singing two of the songs. Brand
Both
new. This
them.
Is the premiere debut.
So, yes, this is the Woo. Premiere debut indeed. She has, as a matter of fact, just yesterday?
Yeah, last
night. You got the tracks.
I got the tracks from France and the performance tracks. So this will be my first time singing them.
This is so awesome. So we have to say that you're going to be live at
right.
the Gwen event,
yes.
performing these live.
Yes.
And this is the first time that they're actually airing on radio.
For you.
And thank you. And this this weekend, you will be videotaping the video.
For Slingshot.
Yeah, the music video for one of the songs. And that will be also with Tess, who, mm-hmm. by the way, is the reason why you
We're
are here today. Thank
today.
You, Tess.
I love Tess. Shout out to her. She is an
Gwen.
Amazing
dot
woman.
Live.
Empowering women around the world. So,
so now that we're all empowered, let's hear the first one's $100,000.
Yeah,
what could that possibly be about?
A big pocket. No. I wrote this about, ironically, about love, you know, mm-hmm. but it was kind of the L.A. scene. Like, you know, it's really hard to get people's attention out here. And so I was like, you know what? If I had $100,000 in my pocket, would you call me back? You know, would that be good enough? Would you listen up? Would I be VIP then? Oh, okay. You know, because it's about the money.
Interesting.
And then it's interesting because in Paris, I've just had this amazing time where it's been more about the passion and the art and the love. And that's why I sing. And that's
Aww.
Why I do this. Because I love
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Wow. Well, I've heard this song. I love it, too. It's $100,000. Here's
that's
Summerona
right.
singing it live on the Life Changes show on Studio NoHo.
Had $100,000 in my pocket, would that be good enough? Would you listen up? If I had $100,000 in my pocket, would you call me back? Would you be the man? If I had $100,000 in my pocket, would you stare at me, make me your royalty? If I had $100,000 in my pocket, would I be VIP? Would you be happy? It's about the money, money, money for you. Ain't about the money for me. For me. It's about the money, money, money for you. Ain't about the money for me. For me. It's about the love, 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 love.
Seeking for a reason, tell me
it's about the love, love, love.
you get it if you love. Love, 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 love. It ain't about the money for me.
I'm busy.
What you want?
That was great. All right.
Oh, that was so fun.
All that personality coming through. Wow. Summer Rona, thank
beautiful.
You so much.
Thank
what
you.
A special premiere.
That was fun. What's it about?
Love. You're going to get me singing now. Summer right. Rona. You can go to summerrona.com. That's summer, SummerRona.com.
And on Instagram, it's Summer Rona Music.
And on, are you on Facebook?
Yep, at Summer Rona.
Summer Rona.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. You speak French.
Un petit peu. Un petit français. Je parle en français. Oh, my goodness. I am out of practice. Je parle français un petit peu, mais très mal.
Actually, I'm gonna take the blame for that.
Right, you messed me up.
Because...
You did.
Earlier we were playing around and sorry.
Yeah, you said something about je parle anglais très bien. And I was like, yeah, I speak English real well sometimes.
That's exactly what I said. So, okay. All right. I won't do that to you
my
again.
My Uber drivers are teaching me French.
Nice. Nice. So you're learning the streets language.
Yeah, and I sing in a cabaret there, so it's like full on Parisian.
How romantic.
How romantic.
So what is Slingshot about?
Slingshot is very much about empowering yourself. You know, think of a slingshot. You being held back mm-hmm. for so long, whether it's by a system, a corporation, a person, a disease, an ailment, whatever, that's holding you back, and finally just letting go and flying and soaring into your destiny. And wow. So we're going to be shooting all these amazing women, all different ages, from, you know, 9-year-old, 10-year-olds to women. And... basically standing for their inner warrior and their inner goddess and
wow.
letting that out
wow.
and to overcome, you know, the odds. And it's kind of an underdog song. You
nice.
Know, whatever's
awesome.
Held
nice.
You back,
that's great.
You know, it's like, okay, the more that you hold me back, it's all right. It's all right because wait for it. Bam.
Wait for it.
Bam.
Oh, I wish people could exactly. have seen the imagery that
wait
you...
Wait for it. They'll see it on the video.
On the video. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Well, here's another radio premiere, and this is very exciting, on the Life Changes Show. Here is Summer Rona and Slingshot live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Been waiting, about to bring it. Huh. I double dare you to wrap your fingers around my dreams. Like I'm about to break through the seams. I'm not the kind to be stuck between mediocre and the fiends, the thieves, the demons. I won't stop. There's meaning in walls of dust. I stop bleeding. I'll soar by while you sit there reading.
Slingshot,
you hold me back.
Slingshot, slingshot,
you cut me down, I'll survive. Cause I'm a
slingshot,
you hold me back.
Slingshot,
don't raise under the sky.
Slingshot,
I'm made to stay alive. You cut me down, I'll survive. Cause I'm a tell me you wanna help me get up and succeed. I'm a hot commodity, selling and bartering. You break up a part of me, sheep you are slaughtering. You gotta be kidding me, I'm the epitome of Lucifer's enemy. Higher than the amphetamines, even with lead in me. I am a better me, meditating serenity. Y'all screaming obscenity. You hold me back, I go racing through the sky. I'm made to stay alive. You cut me down, I'll survive. Cause I'm a
slingshot.
You hold me back,
slingshot.
Go racing through the sky,
slingshot.
I'm made to stay alive. You cut me down, I'll survive. Cause I'm a
slingshot.
You hold me back,
slingshot.
Go racing through the sky,
slingshot.
I'm fed up, I'm fed up.
Cause I'm a slingshot.
You hold me back,
slingshot.
SummerRona.com and Summerona Music on
Instagram
mm-hmm. and then Summerona on Facebook.
Yep, that's right. Correct.
You are a force.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
Such a pleasure. Are you kidding? This has been so great. And thank you again to Tess Cacciatore.
Yes, Tess is awesome. And the Global Women's Empowerment Network and Diane.
And yes, and Diane Adair. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
Perfect combo.
Summer, you're amazing.
Yeah,
thank you.
Amazing.
You were too. I loved hearing what you had to say. I was like, yes, girl.
Look, the party will continue after the show. Let's keep it going, indeed.
Never stop.
It never stops.
Right.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, with that, that is our show. We're not stopping, but
is
our show for today. So I'm going to give a big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
And a thank you to Doug Newsom, our program manager at BBS Radio. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes like ours did tonight for sure, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.